In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last week, I was out of town for school, and I had to take an Uber to the airport to come back to San Diego. So, just like the regular routine, I got one, and I sat inside. And right when I sat down, you know, the car started moving, and they asked me, "Are you a Catholic priest?" And then I knew, you know, this is gonna be a while, you know. So I said, "Yes, I am." And then we started talking. The person was like very Muslim, okay? And here we are. It's probably an hour away from the airport, so they have plenty of time to, you know, talk to me about whatever they want to talk to me about. So we had a very long conversation, okay? She was asking me questions. I was talking to her. We're, you know, discussing the differences between Islam and Catholicism. And throughout that, like I told you, it was an hour drive from the airport. So it got very personal. You know, she started telling me it was things that she's been dealing with, things like that, things that have hurt her. And it was a very fruitful conversation. You know, it was very good. And it was very interesting because one of the points I was making to her, because she said these Abrahamic religions, Judaism, Islam, and Catholicism, what is the main difference between these different religions? You know, why are you right and you're saying I'm wrong? What's the big deal? And then we had a very good discussion about the resurrection because a lot of our faith has to do with Jesus rising from the dead, right? St. Paul tells us, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain. That's what he says. So everything we believe in, everything we do, banks on the resurrection of Jesus. So we started talking about that, and like I said, it was a very good conversation. But then you would think about it, how is there a correlation between the resurrection and hurtfulness? Because that only started to come up in the conversation once we started talking about the person of Jesus, the nature of Jesus, and Jesus rising from the dead. And then all of a sudden, you know, we started talking about that. And it is, I mean, it is kind of surprising because when we memorialize the death of Jesus, we do on Holy Week, on Friday, then all of a sudden, the next day for Easter Vigil, we're supposed to be happy. And you can ask yourself a really logical question. Is that really what happens in our lives? Is that practical? You know, imagine when you've been hurt, you've been scarred by something. Do you wake up the next day with a smile on your face and very happy and ready to start your day? Or does it take time? I know for me, when I get hurt, no, sometimes it takes time. And the deeper the wound, the longer it takes to heal. And the longer it takes for maybe different people, but nevertheless, what's so practical about it? And why does the church, is the church being impractical about us thinking about the death of Jesus on Good Friday and then rejoicing in his resurrection? I think there's something much more going on that we could find, especially in this gospel today, because being forgetful of when we've been hurt, that's tough. It's really tough. And especially if we've been hurt very bad. And saying forgive and forget, I don't know. I think it's much easier said than done when people say that. You know, just forgive and forget. You know, you could forget about it. Don't worry. Don't think about it. Just pray about it. Okay, but I don't know. I don't know if it's that practical. And when it comes to overcoming things that have hurt us, or people that have hurt us, or situations that have hurt us, that have caused major scars, I think we can do one of two things. We can be like the disciples in the beginning of this gospel passage, where Jesus officially died on the cross, rose from the dead, and the disciples have no idea what to do. Because who knows at this point? Who knows what's happening at this point? You know, they're still skeptical, and it says they're hiding. They were hiding because of fear of the Jews. The doors were shut. They were hiding. They were by themselves. And sometimes that's how we could deal with wounds. That's how we could deal with our own scars. We just close the doors in our lives. just close everything, close people out of our lives, push people out of our lives, and be to ourselves and tell ourselves, you know, I only have myself until I'm able to get, you know, through this certain thing. We close the doors to everything. But that can't necessarily be some sort of solution, because if we lock ourselves in our own minds, that's a big problem. That's what causes more mental health issues. That's what happens. So how could these two be reconciled? Even though the disciples, they were locking themselves in that room, the doors were shut. As much as we think we could shut the doors of our minds to this world, shut people out of our lives, do all of these things, and feel very sorry for ourselves for the things that we've been through and the hurtfulness that we've endured, no matter how hard we try, maybe it could work with people around us, but it doesn't work with Jesus. Because as afraid as the disciples were, as hurt as he may have been, because remember, these are the same guys that ran away when Jesus was going to be condemned. They have, you know, some questions to be answered. So they were hurt, they were scared, they were afraid, they were filled with fear. But not even the locked doors stopped Jesus from entering. Not even those locked doors. Because we see two things happening. Locked, Jesus brings with him two things. It says, the doors were locked, and Jesus came and stood among them. St. John doesn't tell us Jesus opened the door and or knocked on the door and said, please open up, you know, I'm here. I've resurrected from the dead. He doesn't just open the door on his own. He's in his resurrected body. He appears in front of them and brings two things. He doesn't need their permission to enter into their hearts. He does it. And he walks in and brings these two things. He says, peace be with you. That's the first thing he says. Before asking them any questions, why did you run away? Why were you so afraid? Why are you not getting over these wounds that you have in your life? He first brings peace. Whether we close the doors on him or not, whether we close the doors to our hearts on people or not, whether we're filled with anger, with scars, with wounds, with hurtfulness, Jesus enters no matter what. And what does he bring with him? He brings peace. Because he knows someone that's this closed off needs peace first. And not just any peace, the peace of Christ. And I don't want to be biased, but the Chaldean liturgy exposes this more than anything else you see in Catholicism. How many times do you hear Shlama Amchon? A lot. And that's just Mass. You hear it much more often in Ramsha, our evening prayer, and Sota Sapra, our morning prayers. It's a big focal point in our liturgy because it's at the heart of Christ. Jesus says, peace be with you. But he doesn't stop there. Remember, he brings two things with him. He gives them the peace that they need. And then he shows them something. It said, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Just because Jesus rose from the dead, and just because we were rejoicing in his resurrection because he rose from the dead, he defeated death, does not mean he didn't go through the pain and suffering he did. He carried with him his wounds. And that was the second important thing he needed to show them. I still have my wounds. Scars sometimes pierce so deep, they don't go away. But it doesn't mean that we cannot handle it. It doesn't mean that it's much more powerful than we are. And it doesn't mean that it's much stronger than we are, where it takes over our lives to a point where our hearts close all the doors to this world and to people and to our minds and to our hearts. Jesus here, when he shows us his wounds, he says, I also went through the suffering, and you are participating in the hurtfulness with me. Just as everyone abandoned me and they crucified me to the cross. You may go through something, obviously, to a much less caliber than that. but he participates with us, and we participate with him. He shows us that we're not alone, and he's with us. Because one of the worst things we can do is lean towards loneliness when we're trying to figure out the wounds and the hurtfulness and the pain that we may have endured in our lives. He makes it manageable, and not only manageable, he takes it upon himself. And that's one of the reasons why, again, not to be biased, but the Sunday after Easter is always called New Sunday, Chosha B'chatha. And this gospel is always read because it's meant for us to be transformed anew. We're meant to give him ourselves, not only bits and pieces of ourselves, but we're meant to understand that no matter what we've went through or what we're going through or what we will go through, he's ready, whether we invite him or not, to be with us and for us to unite ourselves and our sufferings with him. Amen.